From the heart of Big Ten country, Los Angeles, California, Ryan Abraham and David Woods present the Podcast of Champions.
Welcome everyone back to the Podcast of Champions. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
And I'm Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the 24/7 site on the USC Network.
You messed it up.
I did mess it up. And together, we make the Podcast of Champions, talking Big Ten football, Thanksgiving week at 9 a.m. on a Tuesday. There were literally dozens of people asking for this to happen. Maybe not. Maybe.
I just got to take a moment. Can we talk about how much I need a haircut?
Like, you
do. Look at this. Like, look what's going on here. And you know, it was one thing when I could grow all my hair, but like, what's happening
when
here?
When it's limited,
like it's limited in volume. Like, I don't have anything here going on anymore. And so it's like I'm growing like this huge back over.
Do you not look at mirrors? You only look at yourself when you're on the show?
Pretty much.
Okay.
But like, what's going on, dude? Like, I just want everyone to know, life isn't this hard for me. Like, it's not this hard that I need to look like this. Okay.
It's pretty hard.
Let's get a haircut. All right.
You might not have the years. You got the mileage.
Damn sure.
Is that right? Hey, it's got a fun show for you today. I know it's 9 a.m., but we want to just kind of get the show out of the way because we got Thanksgiving weekend coming up. Dave's not a big turkey guy. I love the turkey. And I love all the sides, and I love all the everything. I love Thanksgiving. It's going to be great. We got some football.
I love Thanksgiving. I don't love turkey.
You're right, which is, you know, that's very communist of you, I would think.
No, I don't think it is.
I think it is.
I think there's nothing more American than expressing your preferences and not agreeing with the hive mind, Ryan.
When it comes to Thanksgiving, I want hive mind. I want, you know, candy corn on Halloween. I want turkey on Thanksgiving. Come on.
Yeah, it's very typical of one of your ilk to be a wild hypocrite with these sorts of things.
Yes. Well, if you want to email us, we got a few emails. I know it's a shorter week for us. Big10cast, all spelled out, gmail.com. Call or text us 424-532-0678. Tweet at B1G Podcast. And of course, on Apple or Spotify, you can leave a 5-star rating. We love those. Thank you so much for doing those. And reviews on Apple are always fun. We've got some amazing reviews over the years from our very smart and funny listeners. You can, on Spotify, individual episodes, you can leave comments. Didn't get any on the last episode. Do we have a good review?
We do have a good review.
They follow the rules?
Yes. This is from Trojan Dan 11. He is a very smart man, and I think we should all listen to him. Hot takes and a tenuous grasp of the English language. Come for the definitive rankings of 19th century secretaries of state and which Disney princess is the kinkiest. Stay for the mediocre football talk, fruity beer, rants about flyover states, and appropriate places for football coaches to engage in autoeroticism. Hint, not at the office. As a longtime POC listener, I've genuinely enjoyed Bert and Ernie's takes on most things, except for when the tall drink of water with two first names describes this product, a simulcast. For the love of Chase Garbers and Jake Locker, the word simulcast is a portmanteau of simultaneous and broadcast. Because I'm too cheap to pay for the OED, Merriam-Webster defines simultaneous as existing or occurring at the same time, exactly coincident, and broadcast as to send out or transmit something, such as a program, by means of radio or television or by streaming over the internet. Ergo, the word simulcast can be defined as exactly coincident transmission of a program by means of radio, television, or by streaming over the internet. However, the POC is initially transmitted via a single medium, a live YouTube stream, and concurrently recorded for dissemination on various podcasting platforms. Thus, it is not a simulcast, as again, it is not being simultaneously broadcasted. Thank you for your attention to this matter.
Who is that?
That's Trojan Dan.
Trojan 11, Dan.
One of your supporters.
Thanks, Trojan Dan 11. We would have sent you a Trader Joe's gift card, but we can't because I'm going to show you guys how I can prove you wrong. If you're watching us on YouTube on our simulcast, or as Dave says, simulcast, there's a monitor right here broadcasting our show, the live feed right here on this monitor. That doesn't go out to YouTube. This is separate. So At the same time that it's broadcasting here, it's also broadcasting to YouTube. Ergo, it's a simulcast. Thank you very much. But I appreciate that. No gift card for you. Just kidding. No, we would love to send you a Trader Joe's gift card. Email me, ryan@uscfootball.com. Even in your air, we are so nice, and it's Thanksgiving. We're giving thanks for mistaken folks like you. Yes, I will send you a Trader Joe's gift card. So thank you, Georgia Day. Was that the only review?
That was the only new review, correct.
Nice. We appreciate that. We appreciate everybody. It's been a lot of fun. Ran into some people at up in Portland. Went to the 10 Barrel Brewery again on Friday night, and some POC fans too, and talking about the funny listeners we have on the show and everything. So yeah, we have some amazing listeners. So thank you for that. All the sending in all the good stuff. Before we jump into everything else, okay, so we do our picks against the spread. We got to recap those. I had another meh week. It was 4-4. I'm still 500 on the season.
I had a meh week too. I think we should just leave it there. It was very meh.
David, if UCLA could have come through, he would have been 1-7. But he scrounged a point at the end, at the the nightcap.
Yeah.
Went 2-6 in his picks. He's 8 games under 500. This is by far his worst performance we've been doing this for like 8 years or something.
Pretty incredible.
It's pretty bad. So when you do your, you know, bet your games this weekend, I need you, because it's Thanksgiving. Need you to think about what you want to do. You're going to follow Dave's picks. You're going to fade him. Follow me. Do what you want. You can do whatever you want. It's Thanksgiving. You're going to be with your family. You got to survive it. And you need to get to some easy W's. Maybe following Dave is not the way to get the easy W's. I don't know. Maybe he'll bounce back. Maybe it's going to be a big week. But my bookie has you covered. The lock of the season is back. It's the best bet every bettor talks about because it doesn't miss. All it takes is a single touchdown. No, this isn't college. We're talking about the NFL. Black Friday. We love some of the games. Bears-Eagles. So all it takes in that game, one trip to the end zone, and you'll double your money. It's the simplest bet you'll ever make and the easiest cash of the season. That's why we love MyBookie. You get the sportsbook, the casino, everything in one spot. There's no app, no hoops to jump through. You just hit the site and you're in action. So our promo code is POC. When you sign up, grab that welcome bonus to get started now because you want to bet this Black Friday game. Load up, lock in, and enjoy the feast only at MyBookie.
Beautiful read.
Thanks. The hoops part in there, I was like a little confused because it was like, is it hoops, basketball hoops, or it's actually jumping through hoops? So I was like a little.
I think there's like a game in Australia just called hoops too.
Is that the one where like there's no backboard on the, what's that weird one you see in the Olympics? There's like a small hoop.
Yeah, what's that?
And you have to like walk, but you can only, yeah, like there's no dribbling. It's only passing.
There's also, there's a game called, I think, netball in Australia. Have you heard of this
Maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the one where it's like no backboard and you have like tall girls.
I don't know. So, am I just making stuff up?
So when the 28 Olympics comes and where it's like flag football, I'm like, why does everyone want this? I do look at some of the other sports that are in the Olympics like, okay, we'll take it, you know, because there's these weird games that I've never heard of or why you're doing. We got the are you a curling person? I do watch that sometimes.
I wouldn't describe myself as a curling person.
Right.
I've watched some curling in my time.
I think there's a factor for curling that's like, if you watch, you know, Carl Lewis run, you're like, I can't do that. If you watch curling, you're like, I can
sweep. I can sweep and slide on my feet.
Like, is there something? There's not something that's like athletically limiting that I couldn't do that. So,
right.
You know, so maybe that's the appeal.
Yeah. It's like an Olympic parlor game.
I think the greatest Olympic story ever was that turkey eye. Like the guy that just shoots, like he was like he had like some t-shirt on and just was a marksman. And he was just like big, and guys have like all this precision, everything. They're like their food, their breathing. Like it's all like they're, you know, trying to hit these targets. And this guy just walks up and like and just starts shooting and it's like beating everybody. Like that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
He didn't have all the like sponsors and everything. Like he's just really good, which is kind of scary if you're that good at shooting.
Well, you know,
there's something. All right. So what are we going to do? We're going to recap all of the games for what week are we in? Like 85 or
week 13? We got some important news in the chat.
Oh, I haven't looked at the chat yet. I'm sorry. Yeah, by the way. So, oh, wait. I got to pull up the chat. Crap. Hopefully this works now. Sometimes when I pull up, oh, it's there. Oh, we got a Love it. Let's pull it up here.
It's from El Gordo Flacco. Thank you, El Gordo Flacco. Dave, sad to hear about your buddy Chip. Thoughts? For those who weren't paying attention.
One of the greatest human beings.
The great Chip Kelly, the illustrious Chip Kelly. Offensive genius, some say. All say, truly one of the greats of our time, was sadly and unjustifiably and mistakenly fired by, I don't have his, Peter, some guy named Peter. Peter Carroll?
Peter Carroll.
Yeah, fired yesterday as the offensive coordinator at the Raiders. Apparently, Chip Kelly is not, you know, just a completely unfettered offensive genius. And he sucked shit with the Raiders.
He did.
Sorry, Griffin.
Oh, my God. I have Brock Bowers in my fantasy, like in two leagues, and he's like he's the best player in the field. Get him the frickin' ball. I'm like, no.
Yeah. So or, bad. You know, like mess around with Ashton Chente and make him change his stance preseason because, I don't know, you have some sort of undiagnosed disorder. Yeah. Just beautiful. I hope he never, like, this is my wish for humanity. I hope he never curses your football team. I hope he calls it a day now.
Yeah.
Go back to New Hampshire. Coach at New Hampshire, buddy. You're done.
What about Cal?
Go back to New Hampshire, buddy.
Justin Wilcox?
No, like, so, yeah. Hold on. All right, yeah. Breaking news. We're doing a Pac-12 podcast.
California today. Golden Bears.
The sturdy Golden Bear finally fired Justin Wilcox. Justin Wilcox, at last count, had zero good seasons at Cal. How many years was he there?
Nine.
He had 1-8-5 year. That wasn't that good. Terrible job. I don't know. So, like, there's a couple of mysteries around Justin Wilcox that I don't know that we'll ever solve. One, how did Cal retain him that long? Mm. And two, why do so many members of the media carry his water?
It's weird.
It's really weird. I understand it with Chip Kelly. I understand it with Mario Cristobal. I understand it with Manny Diaz. Like, these are all guys who, you know, give information to certain people that, you know, Ryan may be good friends with. And so they get a sort of glad tidings all the time. I don't get it with Justin Wilcox because he's not good enough to have ever justified any of this. Like, Chip Kelly at least went 46-7 at Oregon. Right. Like, he actually had a track record at one point. Justin Wilcox has never been good. He wasn't that good as a defense. Like, he was a fine defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like when he got elevated to a head coaching job, it was sort of like, oh, this is the next step for this guy who is pretty good. But it wasn't like, oh, my God, he's a genius defensive coordinator, and this is the only thing that makes sense at this point. He was fine.
Yeah.
He wasn't spectacular. And then he got 9 years at Cal. He's almost a 50-year-old man now. Like, and he spent 9 of his years at Cal sucking.
Mark says, Cal fired their coach who was bowl eligible in a conference on the Atlantic coast. Do we think that Berkeley has higher standards than UCLA at the moment?
I guess we'll find out very soon. But yeah, I mean, for Cal, I think it'll be interesting. I heard some people talking of Jim Mora recently, and two things there.
You tweeted that you would like Jim Mora back.
Yeah, I would. Two things there, though. Jim Mora working for Ron Rivera, I have a feeling Ron Rivera wouldn't live out the year. And two, I don't know. Cal? But the thing is, UC pension? Like, I don't know how many years you have to get to get that in, but if he gets 5 years at Cal, then add that to the 5 years at UCLA, that's 10 years. Does that get you pension eligibility?
Oh.
Maybe? I don't know. It's worth thinking about.
That's worth it.
But Jim Moore has been talked about for both that and the open Stanford job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. We did get an update on the Survivor pool. We didn't get an email yet, but sorry. This is the wrong one. Our buddy Matthew, he has a very weird handle on YouTube. Quick Survivor pool update. All three players won. Iowa, Penn State, and Ohio State were picked. 2 weeks to go. And then Andy, who is one of the survivors, said, as one of the three people left, I'm stuck trying to decide if I pick Ohio State this week or save them for the championship game. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it depends on who who you have.
I mean, who can pick Ohio State against Michigan? That's the real question.
I know. Mark, Jim Mora and Chip Kelly as the OC at UCLA.
Ooh.
How would that make you happy?
Who says no?
Who says no? Sweet. All right. Well, we got our update there. Thank you for the super chat. And I'm very surprised the chat is this active at 9 a.m, but I love it. That's
awesome. We used to record it this time all the time.
Did we?
Yeah.
I don't remember a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I know you don't.
How long have we been doing this?
Fuck, man.
Is it 10 years?
Yeah, we surpassed 10 years this past summer.
Okay. Damn. Just like literally watching some high school play. Like, who was it? It was the linebacker.
It was
from
Mickey Juarez.
Mickey Juarez.
Yeah.
Watching that, and we're like, we should do a Pac-12 podcast.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Here we are doing a Big Ten podcast.
Like, what the hell happened? All right, let's recap these games because that's
what we do.
What we do. Mercifully. Number 18.
Purdue Boilermakers.
Dana bye.
Bada bye. Yes. Number 17, man. This is a tough luck team.
Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
They're on the road, taking on number 7.
Iowa Hawkeyes.
Oh, oh, oh!
Well, they played better.
They did.
Michigan State. They still lost, though. Yeah,
we didn't get this cover. We both got this wrong.
No. All right. So Michigan State went on the road to Iowa, and this was, I think Iowa was favored by 16.5 at the end.
Yes.
They won by 3.
So last second field goal isn't covering 16.5.
And they were down 17-7 entering the fourth quarter.
So being down like by 26.5 in the spread is not good in the second half.
Yeah, I wonder how much that was hangover effect for Iowa after USC and not pulling it off, having that really bad second half. Because Michigan State has not looked like it has had a pulse most of the second half of the year. And I mean, they looked better in this game, but I think a lot of this was Iowa just kind of carrying some stuff from the previous game. But they were able to rally. The heart of a champion, Iowa Hawkeyes. Able to rally to pull off the 20-17 win. Michigan State is 3-8 and 0-8 in the Big Ten now.
Wow. Yeah. Eight game losing streak?
Yes. Yeah. They won their first 3 games and now they have lost 8 straight.
And they got the Alessio Milovanovic or whatever his name is. He had a couple touchdowns in the third quarter, 255 yards. So he's, he's doing all right.
He was doing some things.
He did some stuff, but this was it's a very Iowa game. The only thing that wasn't Iowa about it, they missed like a 53 yard field goal, like at the end of the second quarter or whatever. But Weegen like had a 62 yard punt return for the first score of the game. For Iowa, you get a punt. And then he also had a 40-yard punt return that set up the game-winning drive, the field goal drive. Like, if they didn't get those 40 yards, they weren't going to score. But it was special teams, and then, of course, hitting the 44-yard field goal to win the game as time expired. It was such an Iowa game, They had scored points in other games, and this was not one of those. This was back to, the Iowa we knew against a really bad team. So certainly not covering it. It does make your skin crawl when you pick Iowa to cover like a double digit spread, like more than 2 scores was like, ooh, that was bad.
Can I give you the drive chart? I know our friends at the Solid Verbal have done this one, but like this, the first half went punt, 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 interception, punt. Now important about that punt is it did turn into a touchdown for Iowa, and then punt, punt, field goal, punt, interception, missed field goal. That was the entire first half. So Big Ten listeners, like traditional Big Ten listeners, when I criticize the league, understand I'm not like criticizing your team. All I'm doing is criticizing Iowa and the amount with which you have all allowed Iowa to infect the rest of your teams. Because I think so many teams in the Big Ten, they have contact Iowa. Like they've developed, and I don't know, maybe Iowa's gone airborne, right? you haven't been able to keep it contained. It's sort of like Outbreak. Remember the film Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman and Rene Russo? Fantastic film. But where the virus then goes airborne.
It's like Iowa 19 or whatever.
Right.
It's just Iowa 25.
I guess my point is we need to have the Donald Sutherland character order the planes with the big bomb to eradicate the virus.
What kind of surface area are we talking? Like, how many square miles?
Well, that's the thing. It's sort of like
how many states are being encompassed by
It might be the entire. Upper Midwest. I'm sorry, but look, we've got to burn this village.
It's a big price to pay.
We've
got to
burn this village in order to save it. Okay,
it's an important cause.
Yeah. There's so much Iowa. I remember when Michigan State wasn't Iowa, but then they did this. This is Iowa. They Iowa'd.
So much Iowa.
They've become the Borg.
The Borg is overtaking things.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next game. We have number 16.
Maryland Terrapins.
And number 5.
Michigan Wolverines.
Scratch. All right, the Big Ten's bullshit, man. Like,
we didn't get this one either.
This is a 13.5-point spread in favor of Michigan. Has Michigan won another game in this league by 13 points this year?
I don't think so.
They beat Nebraska by 3. They beat Wisconsin by 14 at home. They lost to USC. They beat Washington by 17 at home.
Oh, yeah.
They beat Michigan State by 11 on the road. They beat Purdue by 5. They beat Northwestern by 2. And then they hang 45 on Maryland?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
And we had the stat, too, that Michigan had, like, they're covering double-digit spreads on the road has been awful. But they win those games. So we think, okay, they'll win, but they're not going to cover.
Yeah, they're going to win this one by 8 or some shit.
They covered by
Griffin.
A shit ton.
Anyway, Maryland dead in the water. They responded to Mike Loxley being retained by completely pooping the bed. Like, dirty sheets. Like, when you say, like, here's the thing. When I think of shitting the bed, right? When I think of, like, the literal what's going on, I think of, like, a sick person having diarrhea in bed, right?
Yeah.
Where it's, like, just, like, they can't get out of bed and it's just, bleh. But what if it's a team kind of intentionally, no, I'm going to take a dump on this bed. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just going to be like a full log. It's going to be just like kind of a sticky mess. And then you got to deal with it. Because I feel like that's Maryland's response to Mike Loxley being retained. Was, no, I'm going to intentionally take a shit in this
bed. So like Luke Fickell, like Wisconsin.
Right.
The response was overwhelmingly positive.
Right.
This one, you're saying, is more on the negative side.
Correct.
Equating a shit in bed as a negative act.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I wasn't sure if that was negative or positive.
An intentional negative act, whereas typically when I use that phrase, I mean it as an accident, right? Mm. But I think it was a intentional, no, we don't support this. Let me take a dump in this bed.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Thoughts, comments, concerns?
No, I think you're correct. This was not, the effort was not there. I mean, Michigan was out there, you know, Justice Haynes still out, Jordan Marshall was out, and some guy named Bryson Kudzal or whatever his name is. He had 3 touchdowns over 100 yards. Michigan never punted. Like, that's a good stat, right? Like, if you don't punt, I look at that as a positive thing. They were 12 of 14 on third downs.
Is that good?
That's pretty good. Yeah, like, Maryland is, like, dead. So, I don't know. Why. Maybe we should have them lower. They did win a game, right? Did they win a...
They've won a Big Ten game.
They've won one Big Ten game. I think that's
Michigan
why.
Is sneakily 9-2 and 7-1 in the Big Ten.
And unbelievable. Like... yeah, like, I mean, that you can't not give them a chance against Ohio State, but Maryland, like, to let Michigan roll all over you like that without their like 2 best running backs is that's a bad sign.
Yeah, it was not good.
Let's move on.
Yeah, please.
I'm sure we're getting to like better teams, right?
No.
Like,
there are not better teams.
Oh wait,
this was one of the worst weeks I think in scheduling history.
Yeah. At least in Podcast of Champions covering the Big Ten history, this is one of the worst. Tied for the worst with every other week. Number 15.
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
If you're going on the road as a shitty team, sorry, Griffin, taking on the number one team of the land and defending national champions,
the Ohio State Buckeyes.
How do we do covering this one?
I'm so mad because I could have sworn I had taken Ohio State because I did my picks column later on in the week,
yeah.
And I picked Ohio State to I do joking scores about Big Ten games because I hate watching the Big Ten so much. I know I record a Big Ten show. It's weird. And I picked Ohio State 400-4 over Rutgers because...
Yeah.
But then I remembered I didn't do that on this show. I picked Rutgers for some ungodly reason. Who even knows what I'm doing on this show anymore?
We had rationale for it. We're like,
there's just so many points. How often has that turned out to bite us in the ass?
Yeah.
Anyway, Ohio State won 42-9. They won by 33 points. Ryan, what was the line we used on this game?
32.5. Yes, we lost by a half a point. And it was like Rutgers finally scores a touchdown late, and then I think they went for two, so it ended up being 9 instead of 10. You know, there were, yeah, and it was just bad.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Ohio State's 11-0, pretty good. And their two best receivers were out, Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate. Yeah. Some guy named Bo Jackson, he's good. He had 110 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So this is what we count on to cover. Like, you're going to jump out to a big lead and then back off, right? And Ohio State didn't back off. They scored in the second half on 4 consecutive drives. It's like, you know, just mix a punt in there and the cover's happening. Like, it just, with these big spreads, you need like certain things to kind of go your way. And they did not go our way on that one.
No, they sure
did. That was a rough one. Yeah, Ohio State rolled Rutgers, who is very, very, very bad at football. Okay. Here's a good one for you. Number 14.
UCLA Bruins.
Wow.
I know they had a 3-game win streak in the middle of the season. You know, things got off the rails a little bit, but you get your quarterback back. You're playing at home. It's got to go well against one of the worst teams we've seen in Big Ten play. Number 13 now? What happened?
Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was the wrong one.
It was one of the other W's.
That was the other. There are a lot of, like,
similar. Just a single W.
This team just got blown out the week before, right? Number 6.
Washington Huskies.
So I use this word specifically because I think it describes things to a T. This was one of the most pointless football games I've ever watched, and I would describe the last half of this UCLA football season as entirely pointless. And the thing is, like, as a viewer at home, as a fan in the stands, as a media member covering the team, but also as a player on the field, that feeling emanates in waves from this UCLA football team. Mm. Like, this is pointless. What are we doing here? Like, the level of, like, why are we still here and doing this in the second half of this game for UCLA was absolutely profound. This is the end of an interim season where already things had gone horribly wrong before the coach was fired. And then they had a 3-game winning streak, and then the bottom completely fell out and they sucked really bad against Indiana and Ohio State. And now you can just see them playing out the string and not really caring. And the thing is, I don't blame them. I wouldn't either. And if I was a coach on the staff, I wouldn't. Like, why would I stay up until midnight trying to devise a game plan for a game we have no chance of winning? Like, why? I would just go home and hang out with my family, right? Go to the beach. You're still in LA. It's still 65 degrees out. Like, you know, do some fun stuff while you're here, because you're not going to be here very long. Like, you're going to be gone.
True.
So why not hang out? Have a good time. I would. Anyway, my point is UCLA lost 48-14, And I know I say this phrase a lot, but it does need to be said again. It wasn't that close. It really wasn't. UCLA, so one thing is Jed Fish was clearly trying to run it up in the second half, which again, I fully support. Please, like, just do it. It's fine. Nobody's feeling anything anymore. Everyone's numb.
It's like you're doing like funny surgeries on a patient that's fully anesthesia is like everywhere. You're like, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, do whatever you got to do, man.
Cut out that liver, do that, dude, whatever.
Run up those stats. It's fine. It's fine. Like, we're beyond feeling. And it was just, there was a play in the second quarter where UCLA was lining up for a field goal.
Oh, wait. Can I put that up on the screen?
Yeah, please do.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
UCLA was lining up for a field goal.
How about that fake field goal attempted? Looks like something out of the Three Stooges. That's from EVS.
UCLA was lining up for a field goal. It was a 4th and 14. Got it? 4th and 14. 14 yards until the first down line where they can get, as I explained to my daughter this weekend, another 4 chances to get 10 more yards.
Yes.
Right?
I know you like going for it on 4th down.
This would not be a go.
Wow.
You're down 13-0 in the second quarter. This is a kick. You kick this one.
Okay.
So they line up for it.
I'll have to check the analytics, but I'm going to believe you.
They line up for it. And instead of kicking the ball, they snap it to the holder. And then the holder, and this is where it becomes fun, he throws a no-look pass behind his back to the kicker, who is now running behind him.
Ah.
Okay.
I've seen that before. But it looks really cool. The guy catches it and runs and gets a first down. And
the holder.
Amazing.
Now, the holder.
Yeah.
Is he a quarterback?
I don't know.
No, he's not.
Oh,
is he like a reasonable athlete on the football team? Like somebody who you can expect to like be able to make a big play like that, you know, and just have the coordination and the athleticism to do it? No. He's the backup kicker. It's the backup kicker who is throwing it to the starting kicker, who's 175 pounds.
So in this game we call football, that we don't normally use our feet, it's the guy that only uses his feet was throwing the ball.
Right.
So there's like 3 people on the team that don't use their hands. He's one of them. And so
he's throwing it to a guy who also doesn't use his hands. And that guy, obviously he must be a spectacular athlete if you're doing this with him, right? Like he must be a guy who's like, I mean, he's probably caught the ball before and like, you know, been a receiver or something at some level. No, he hasn't. And so he throws it behind him, like without looking. Again, no look pass. And then the kicker not only doesn't catch the ball, he can't catch the ball. Like it's nowhere close to where
like
he is.
Fumbled it. It
just bounces on the ground. And then and this is where, again, as I said earlier, I don't fault anybody involved with this UCLA team for any of their behavior. He nopes right out of that play. He's like, nope, I see their starting linebacker bearing down on me. I see some guys. I'm going to pretend like I'm going after this ball, but I'm not really. This is a little rich for my blood. And so the Washington player scoops it up, facing no resistance from the tandem of kickers in the backfield, and races it all the way to the end zone to make it 20-0. And I think that play, more than any other play in this game, made it so that UCLA was just like, okay,
yeah,
we're cool. We don't need to play this anymore. Everything is fine. Yeah. This was fun. Let's move it right along.
You got this one right. You took Washington and laying all those points. I thought UCLA would show put up a little resistance at home with Nico back. That was not the case. And that play too, like even if the no look from the backup kicker, who, you know, was
I'm
a walk-on.
I'm literally sitting here reminding myself, like imagining it again and laughing.
But if it was a perfect pass that landed in the starting kicker,
he gets tackled for a 2-yard gain at most.
Right. Like the guys were ready to pounce on him. So
yeah, because it's not like UCLA hasn't run fakes before. Like if you are defending UCLA now on special teams, you are running like field goal safe, punt return safe all the time.
Yeah.
Like you are watching every single time.
Your fake has to be a pass if it's 14, like 14 yards is not like, if you know, you have something you schemed up, you're like, this guy's going to be wide open. He's coming across the field. We've seen this on their kick rush or whatever. Like, but to expect your kicker to run for 14 yards, like, no.
It was so cool, man.
That was the second win for Washington in the Rose Bowl in the last like 30 years. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was really fun. UCLA lost Nico Iamaleava again. He suffered some sort of neck spasms. If I were him, I would not play against USC. And it may have been the last UCLA home game in the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, it could be the last one.
What a send off!
I love you say home game. Like, what other game would be?
Great point.
When was like in your lifetime?
In my lifetime, they played in the Rose Bowl. In my lifetime, barely, they have won the Rose Bowl.
And what are your memories of that day?
I think I was spitting up and pooping.
So it could have been yesterday.
It could have been yesterday. It could have been this morning.
But it was when you were...
Yeah. A lot of poop talk. A lot of poop talk for 30 minutes into this show.
You were X amount of months old when this happened. Okay.
I was a month and a half.
But I love that you put the clarifier there, like the next, the last time they play a home game at the Rose Bowl, because those other times.
Those other many opportunities they have to play in the Rose Bowl game.
Especially now that the Big Ten's not associated with it anymore and everything.
Yeah.
Not that that would matter, but I think that, whatever. Okay, we've talked about that way too much, but that was
I could talk about it forever.
Yes, you could. Number 13.
Wisconsin Badgers.
We need the gif of the Undertaker like waking up. That's great. They were hosting number 10.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi, I'm from Illinois.
So Wisconsin responded to Luke Fickell being retained by suddenly looking like a real team again?
Yeah.
Because, all right, first, if we recontextualize now, at Oregon 3 weeks ago, they lost 21-7. We all looked at that as, wow, Oregon looking like dookie. But was it suddenly resurgent Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Because they did that. Then they beat Washington at home. Then, if you remember that Indiana game, again, we were like, oh, Indiana looks like dookie.
Yeah.
Is it Wisconsin making these teams look like dookie suddenly? Because Wisconsin made Illinois, once again, look like dookie. But like the biggest pile of dookie. Like, Illinois shit the bed, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry, Griffin.
27-10, man.
27-10. Which team was favored in this game?
Let's look at this one. We had... I got this one right. Yeah. Wisconsin was getting 8.5 points.
Got it. So they covered by 25.5.
So I assume we both picked, let me look. I picked Wisconsin. Mm. I assume you did too, because when it's this lopsided, you would get it. Right. Oh, you did it? This was a fun one.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Wisconsin won this game 27-10. Would you like to know how many passing yards Wisconsin had in this game?
How many?
92. So when I say Iowa has infected the entire Big Ten, understand I'm not lying. This is quintessential Iowa. Wisconsin won a game while attempting not to offense.
Yeah.
And you've got to respect that.
It's pretty awesome. The Dupree, for Darian Dupree, he had 131 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had an 84-yard rushing touchdown in this one. It was the longest play from scrimmage for the Badgers all season. The Badgers scored in every quarter for the first time all season. Linebacker Daryl Peterson had 3 sacks, and Altmaier got sacked 5 times overall. Like, yeah, they played like defense. They ran the football. And they just smacked around Illinois. And pretty nice win at home. Like, to get your second conference win, they look like they're actually alive again. Pretty impressive. And it's Illinois falls to 4-4 in Big Ten play. Like, that's not very good.
Yeah, they're not going to be ranked anymore.
No, they've been, like, ranked the whole time. Like, hanging on. Like, oh, they lost these good teams. Like, well, now you lost to Wisconsin.
Yep.
But yeah, pretty amazing. Wisconsin's turnaround. That's a case where this wasn't shitting in the bed. You stuck with Luke Fickell. People have rallied. They're playing better. So pretty impressive. But yeah, it's concerning for Illinois for sure. Number 12.
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr. And speaking of zombie teams, they're hosting... Do I have... Is it right? Number 8.
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Sorry, I didn't look at the power rankings beforehand.
Should that be moved? Probably.
Probably. Probably. Nebraska looks broken with no Dylan Raiola. TJ Lateef can only keep the magic going so long. And also, their defense suddenly looks like hot dog shit.
Someone has to be 8, though. Like, they have won a bunch of Big Ten games, right?
Yeah. What was your favorite incompletion that Nebraska forced?
There was that one.
There was that one. Penn State suddenly looks a little bit like a team that was preseason top 5. That's, I mean, without, again, Drew Aller, Ethan Grunkmeyer looks, you know, consistently a little bit more respectable as their starting quarterback as he's gotten deeper and deeper into the season. Katron Allen continues to be an absolute stud. They won 37-10. This was not close. I don't know which one of us idiots picked Nebraska. It certainly couldn't have been me.
Let me look.
It couldn't have been me.
So the line was Penn State favored by 7.5. Mm-hmm. Your hero here took Penn State.
Right?
No, you took Nebraska. Oh, I'm so sorry. You took Nebraska?
That's weird.
Wow.
I don't remember doing
another
that.
Another one that you didn't cover by like 3 or 4 scores.
Can somebody check the tape? I don't remember doing that.
You could check the tape, but yeah. Krunkemeyer was 11 of 12. First of all, he only threw 12 passes, but he hit 11 of them. Yeah, this was... Emmett Johnson did have 103 yards. He had 48 yards rushing, but nowhere near like the 100-100 performance he had against UCLA. But yeah, Katron Allen, he's got almost 4,000 yards in his career rushing. He passed Evan Royster.
This was a weird one just because Nebraska turned it over on downs 4 different times.
That's insane, right?
Yeah. And I mean, some of it was end of game. Like, you kind of have to go for it. But their fourth down conversion rate was not very good.
Yeah, I think in the first half, they had 2 punts and then they turned it over on downs. And then in the second half, 3 more turnovers on downs. Like, those are obviously. But Penn State looks like the team.
But that's why Nebraska has a bunch of yardage and no points to go
right
for it.
Yes, the yardage wasn't terrible, but they just couldn't finish. They get stuck, wouldn't finish drives. Penn State looks like a good team with good athletes all over the place. So we'll see. Still haven't hired a coach yet. See how much of the roster they can keep together, all that. But, yeah. It's good to see Penn State like winning some games again. But Nebraska, you thought like, oh, they could be pretty good. That was a rough outing there. Speaking of rough outings, let's go. We've got number 11.
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
They were, again, in Wrigley Field taking on, now we got them up at number 9. Can you believe this? Number 9.
Northwestern Wildcats.
I can't believe it. Actually an exciting game in the Big Ten.
It was good.
Like, actually kind of fun to watch.
What was the spread on this one?
I know what it was. It was Northwestern by 3.5 points, Ryan. How many did they win by?
They won by 3.
Huh. Who did I take?
You took Northwestern, I took Minnesota.
Yay. Northwestern won 38-35.
You had a really bad week of picks.
I had a really bad week of picks. They won on a field goal with under a minute to go, but it wasn't like that should have won the game. But then Minnesota was able to drive down the field, and I think they lined up for a 40-yarder at the end.
It went wide left, I believe.
Yeah, but like they had a makeable field goal.
Sure, yes. Which I didn't want because then I was like, well, then...
Then we go to overtime, and then things get weird.
Yeah.
But they had a makeable field goal. They just missed it. And that sent Northwestern to victory. But I mean, this game featured offensive football.
Yes.
Like both teams scoring repeatedly.
Yeah.
Each team, and this is a Big Ten game, each team threw for more than 250 yards. 250. I'm not saying 25. I'm not saying 250s. I'm saying each threw, each team threw for more than 250 yards. This was an offensive explosion from these two teams. And most importantly, Northwestern is now bowl eligible. I was pretty convinced they were bad early in the season when UCLA lost to them because it fits my narrative. But because all of my reasoning is motivated. But they're okay.
Yeah.
And they've lost three straight going into this one. But, I mean, if their defensive tackle doesn't fumble the ball when Jaden Maiava hits him at the one-yard line, they might not have lost that one.
They could have won that one. So they had 525 yards in this game. That's Minnesota right, had 323. Yeah, Minnesota couldn't run the ball, really, and Northwestern did. It was one of those back and forth, and I felt like the second half, like Northwestern, I believe Northwestern had the ball and a lead, if I'm not mistaken, and they fumble the kickoff, and then Minnesota scores, and it sort of was like, uh-oh. But, yeah, they got a TD in the next play. But, you know, it just went back and forth. They were able to you know, stick with it and get a really gutty win there with, you know, a balanced offense attack. They looked like a real team. So pretty good. Tough one for Minnesota. But, yeah, Northwestern bowl eligible. So congrats. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it required a little bit of tomfoolery for Minnesota to be scoring in this one. You know, that Coy Parrish had that, I think, 93-yard kickoff return.
Oh, okay, yes.
To set up one of their touchdowns, and then they had another.
That fumble that they got, yeah. So in the second half, the kickoff was fumbled.
Yep.
All right, now we have the game of the weekend. We had the only ranked, unranked, anything. Number four.
USC Trojans.
At number three.
What?
Oregon Ducks.
I could have put Michigan 4 and USC 5. I don't know, but USC beat Michigan. I'm not sure. Like, whatever you want.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. This was... so, I think Oregon was obviously the better team. They won 42-27. What I was, I guess, sort of impressed by with USC is that they, once it started to go wrong, they kind of just kept pace. So they were up, Oregon was up 28-14 at halftime. And I was expecting at that point, like something similar in the second half and Oregon to win by like, you know, three touchdowns or more, just kind of continue to pour it on. But USC kind of held pace. They, I thought, played pretty good defense, especially in the second half. I think the fundamental issue for me for USC in this game was they couldn't run the ball at all.
No, the running game was not.
King bad. Miller, yeah, it wasn't that the magic ran out. It's just I think Oregon's a really good defense, and you know they just didn't. I think they had some injuries on the offensive line. Yeah, probably just a variety of factors. And then Jaden Maiava, who's I think been remarkably clean this year for a guy who came in last year, especially with the rep as somebody who takes a lot of chances, makes a lot of wild throws. He kind of, I won't say he fell back into bad habits because I think it's actually a new learned habit. I have Jacoby Lane. I have Mekhi Lemon. I can throw the ball whenever because they're going to come down with it. And in this one, maybe facing some DBs who are a little bit more talented or guys who have a better scout on him. They were waiting on those seams. They were waiting on, you know, those balls coming through. And he actually got away with a couple in the first quarter that I think may have incentivized him to keep trying, and it led to, you know, his two picks. He's been really good this year, though.
He's got the top QBR in the country.
Right? Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's one, I think, game where he was forcing it a little bit. On the other side, Dante Moore continues to be really accurate throwing a football. The thing that I've always kind of, that's always kind of baffled me about Dante, and this goes back to UCLA, but even like watching his high school film when UCLA signed him, he doesn't have a lot of arm strength. Like the ball is not like a rocket out of his hand. Like Jaden Maiava, you watch him throw the ball and it's on a line like it's a laser beam. Dante Moore, it's always kind of got some touch on it.
But it gets there.
It gets there. Yeah. It gets there. But like, by this much. Like, there's some of them where I'm like, oh, that should be picked. That should be picked. That, oh no, the ball placement was so perfect that it's not picked. And like, it requires so much refinement from like mechanics and all that kind of stuff. And his aim is obviously excellent. I would just love it if he had like just a touch more, just oomph on the ball. Cause I think that's the one piece he's missing. Like, when I think of top flight NFL quarterbacks and all that kind of stuff, I'm like, Dante Moore is a great college quarterback, but I don't really see the like top 10 pick stuff. And yes, I'm the guy who said this about Jaden Daniels, so I am a certified idiot.
You didn't think he would start for LSU when he won
Correct.
The Heisman.
Yes. But when I'm watching Dante Moore, I'm just like, this guy's, he's got the potential to be like a really, 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 really good college quarterback.
Yeah.
I just don't know about him as an NFL guy. But he was really good in this game again. And Oregon, again, the difference wasn't really with the passers. Oregon could run the ball. They ran it all over USC. USC couldn't. And when USC needed to be able to run the ball, when Oregon was gearing up to pass, they couldn't do it. Oregon could. And that was the difference. And kind of the difference in these two programs right now is I think Oregon just has more depth of talent at many positions than USC does. And so USC dealing with some injuries, because Oregon's got injuries as well.
Yeah,
both these teams dealing with injuries, I think you can see some of the thinness for USC and less so for Oregon.
Yeah, Oregon was down a lot of offensive linemen and wide receivers. USC was down their top two safeties, obviously their top two running backs, their left tackle. And I think Oregon did a great job crashing down and stopping the run game. And I think USC needed to run Jaden Maiava more. They were reluctant to do that in the bigger games. Notre Dame didn't run at all. He had three rushes in the Oregon game. But really, the special teams were the biggest difference. USC,
oh, yeah.
At least 17 points. Oregon did have a punt return for a touchdown. So that's a big one. But the major one was where USC's defense does get a stop. And Desmond Stevens, the starting linebacker, gets called for leaping. So it would have been... It was a missed field goal, so USC would have got the ball. And I think it was tied at the time, so a chance to take the lead. And it ended up being a touchdown going the other way. So literally, you're getting the ball back. Those are the worst penalties, right? Like, you're getting the ball back in great field position. Oh, no, you give the other team a first down, and then they end up scoring a touchdown. And that was sort of like the all she wrote moment. And I know there was Terry McCauley, like, he was on Twitter, like, saying it wasn't really leaping. But if I watched the play... He like jumps over, I guess you have to jump over a player, and he jumped over a gap. But there was a lot of argument on the internet. But just looking at the play, to me, it looked can you define what pornography is? No, but I know it when I see it. Like, that looked like leaping to me, but I guess technically it might not have been, whatever. But you can't have those kind of blunders on special teams directly leading to 14 points for Oregon. And, they missed a field goal, whatever, that's fine.
I was reading that McCauley thread. I think he is, like, banging a drum that he had an argument with something about when the penalty was being devised, like, if I was reading the thread correctly.
Yeah,
so I think he just had his other agenda that he was whining about with this. I don't think it really had much to do with the play itself. A lot of penalties in this game generally. I thought a lot of it was really, really ticky-tack. Oregon got hit with four different pass interference penalties on defense, and it was just like, okay. Like, not every time you put hands on a receiver is it pass interference. Like, we don't... Like, this doesn't need to keep happening. And it was just... I mean, it was a lot of that, which I think detracted from what was an otherwise at least interesting game. How many unsportsmanlike conduct penalties did USC have in this football game?
Probably three.
Yeah, they had three.
Yeah, that's not three. Good. One was spinning a ball, like, after a catch.
Mm-hmm.
One was after an interception. Apparently, Jacoby Lane goes to get the ball all the time, but you're not supposed to do that or something. I don't know. And I forget what the other one was.
One was the leaping.
Oh, one was the leaping, yeah.
Yeah, that's
it. I think the thing was that USC became one-dimensional, and Oregon had one of the best pass defenses in the country. Indiana's the only they threw for the most yards against Oregon previous. I think it was like 230 yards or something, and USC beat that by like 100. Like, that's what they can still do. They can throw the ball, make amazing catches. You do force a lot of pass interference calls because you're trying to stop the receivers. Tanuk Hines went over 100 yards. Jacoby Lane went over 100 yards. Mekhi Levin had 2 touchdowns. So that's what USC could do. They could throw the football, but it wasn't a complete game plan to beat Oregon. Like, they did something well, something better than anyone's done against Oregon this year, but that wasn't enough to win the game. You can't have those kind of mistakes on special teams. But the Ducks, I think they played, I don't think that either team played a great game, but Oregon certainly played well enough to win. And, you know,
USC fans, so the reason I'm not bringing it up is because he did the right thing. When USC scored to make it 35-27 and Lincoln Riley went for 2.
Yeah, I got no
problem.
That's
the analytically supported thing to do.
Yeah.
So it's not that he can't count, it's that he's finally following the book with some of this stuff. So he's not being as stupid as he used to be.
No. And that happened. Loxley did it against USC last year for Maryland and ended up winning. USC did it against Illinois and it worked and they took a 1-point lead, but then Illinois scored and kicked a field goal at the end. But yeah, I think analytically it makes the most sense.
Yeah. So this knocks USC out of the playoffs, but hey, they're 8-3. If they get one more win, that's 9-3. And as far as I'm concerned, and at least as far as I can tell from USC fans on Twitter, that's the new goal. Like, that's the new dream. I had a dream that was Rome. You know, this is the new dream, I think, of USC fans, is to finish 9-3, maybe get to the Alamo Bowl.
Could be.
That's exciting, right?
Somewhat. But Oregon should be in the playoffs now.
Yeah, well, they probably already were, but now they have definitely locked it up.
I don't know. If they lost to USC, there was a lot of talk that they might not make it because of theirs.
Because that would be embarrassing to lose to USC.
No, but there's no other ranked. They wouldn't have any ranked wins.
Right, right. Maybe. So Lincoln Riley now, 34-17 as the USC head coach. He's won 2/3 of his games. Hmm. You know who else did that through his first 51 games as the USC head coach?
Like Pete Carroll or something?
Not Pete Carroll. Somebody who has a similar resume, who has had similar success at USC. He won a Rose Bowl.
Oh.
The great Clay Helton. Nice. If you recontextualize Clay Helton's tenure, you know what you find? It was really one bad year. One bad year. Mm-mm. But the last little bit, that was fine. The first chunk, very good. So Lincoln Riley, I mean, he's maintaining at the level of early Clay Helton.
Oh.
You got to feel good about that. But here's the thing, and this is the thing that would give me pause,
yes.
Is, you know, if I was, say, somebody who was coping about this as a USC fan and maybe trying to talk myself into a number one recruiting class and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
What year of his tenure so far was Lincoln Riley's, let's say, best year?
The first year.
Right. And if you were, say, somebody who was trying to contextualize this on Twitter and you were trying to talk about growth, is it easier or harder to talk about growth if your best year is your first year?
That's much harder to talk about growth.
It's more difficult, right? Because it's actually then, again, I'm not a guy who's like great at charts, but I think the line goes down, right?
Yes.
If the best year is the first one,
right.
The line goes down, not up.
Yes.
Right? So it's harder to argue progress when line go down, correct?
I would say yes.
Line has to go up. To be progress.
Yes.
Okay, but it's going down.
Right.
Line go down.
Yeah.
Line not go up. Line go down.
We've established that, yes.
Okay. Got it. I'm just making right. sure we all understand.
Yeah.
Line's going down.
I think you want to be judged against like someone as an esteemed, like my esteemed colleague, David Woods, who would, you know, do his prognostications in the season. And mm-hmm. when the 7.5 win total from Vegas came out, I think you were on the under, so you felt like there was going to keep going down.
Correct.
So apparently it went the other way.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Obviously an exciting time for USC fans. They have risen to the pinnacle of modern day USC. You're going to finish 9-3. This is exciting.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times are here to stay. Alamo Bowl, Holiday Bowl some years. What is the Big Ten attached to?
Are still in the old Pac-12 attachments right now.
What is the fourth or fifth place bowl in the Big Ten? Because USC, it's got your name on it.
Yeah. But we're still like a Pac-12 attachments right now. That's what we're still dealing with.
Yeah. The level of cope. As somebody who's been sad about UCLA football in the past, not right now. Right now I'm numb. But as somebody who's been sad about UCLA football,
so you were sad this
is
or
me.
Numb.
No, this is me being sincere because I'm trolling a little bit, but I want to be sincere.
You're
now.
Trolling a lot.
Just admit you're sad. Just admit you're sad about the state of the program. It's okay. It's all right to just be sad. You don't have to cope. You don't have to cape up for Lincoln Riley. You can just be sad. You can just feel like, hey, this isn't what I wanted it to be. I'd like it to be better. And if it's not better next year, I might be more sad. I might be sad and angry. Right now, I'm just sad and I'm lashing out. That's all. That's all you need to say.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I like it.
It's okay being sad about your football team. All it's okay to feel things. It's fine.
You know who's not sad?
He knows the score. He gets the women. Cignetti kills.
Because we got number two.
That's right, baby.
Indiana Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
They were on a bye, but apparently they scrimmaged some like MAC team and half the team quit football forever.
Good.
They just were so
good
upset.
For them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
That's what I heard. That's an unsubstantiated rumor I just made up. Cool. Any issues? Nebraska, maybe they should move them down. I don't know.
I wasn't really paying attention to where anything was.
You don't pay attention to anything. I have to do these every week.
I got to write in the games with the Lions.
You do that.
And you would think me doing that would have some better feel for the Lions, but no.
So somehow the recap of all those games took an hour.
Yeah.
So we should go faster, probably.
Should we? You know why?
Why?
Because we actually got to talk about two Pac-12 on Pac-12 games.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get to do that. All right. Well, we got some Friday games, Black Friday games, Black Friday games. And I went through this, David. These aren't games that happened already this year.
Now, no, Ryan, I'm convinced that there are 4 of these that have already happened this year.
Okay. I thought I've seen this a few times, but this apparently hasn't happened. It's going to happen on Friday. We have
Iowa Hawkeyes.
They're going to Lincoln to take on
Nebraska Cornhuskers.
I'm peeling corn.
9 a.m. on Friday on CBS. Iowa traveling to Nebraska. Nebraska's a 6.5-point home dog against these Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm going to take Iowa. I think they will cover the 6.5, even though they looked like poop this week against Michigan State, and they're going on the road to Nebraska. More importantly, what else do we have on this beautiful Friday? Because this used to be the day where you would have the Apple Cup.
Yeah.
You would used to have, occasionally, the Civil War. Do we have any Pac-12 on Pac-12 crime that weekend?
I don't know.
We do.
What do we have?
Oregon State, Washington State, baby.
Oh, they play like the 8th time.
That's actually
year.
Not on Friday. It's on Saturday. But, okay. Whatever.
Well, you suck at this.
3:30 p.m. on the CW network on Saturday. Oregon State traveling to Washington State. Washington State's a 13.5-point home favorite here. Who you got?
Wait, I didn't pick the Nebraska game.
I know.
Yet.
I don't care. Who you got?
Wait, Washington State's a favorite?
13.5 points.
Didn't Oregon State win the last one?
Maybe.
Yeah. Give me Oregon State and the points.
I'm taking Wazoo, no doubt.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, go back to the game that you want to talk about, this Big Ten game between Iowa and Nebraska. Are these even rivals? Or are they just corn?
No, they
like,
don't.
Is it just like
other.
A battle between the corn fed?
There's a lot of corn rivalry going on. Yeah, like Iowa, before last weekend, I would have taken. But, at home, they only won by 3 on a last-second field goal against a really bad team. So, I don't know. Maybe Nebraska bounces back a little bit. But 6.5 is a lot, so give me Nebraska. I know they're kind of doo-doo, but
all right, another
I'm
one.
Nebraska in this one.
Another one, 6 p.m. Can you play Arizona and Arizona State, please?
Sure.
Arizona Wildcats. Arizona State Sun Devils.
6 p.m. on Big Fox. Arizona traveling to Tempe to take on the number 25, your number 25, Arizona State Sun Devils.
Yeah.
Kenny Dillingham has done some Kenny Dillingham ass shit this year.
Yeah.
Do you know he's winning with something called a Jeff Sims at quarterback?
Yeah.
He went into Colorado this past weekend, and I know Colorado is not good this year, but he beat that ass. They've won like 4 of their last 5, including I think they're the only team who's beaten Texas Tech this year.
Yes.
They lost to Houston, not great, but they went to Iowa State, beat them, beat West Virginia at home, and then they beat Colorado. They're 8-3. They have no business being 8-3. If you watch this team, no business. But Kenny Dillingham's a freak. Anyway, Arizona's a 1.5-point road favorite. And look, if I'm being kind, Arizona with our friend Brent Brenton. What's his name again?
Brent Brennan.
Brent Brenton.
No.
Is that not right?
No, it's not right.
All right. Try it again.
Brent Brennan.
Burn Burton.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Bert Burton.
We'll go with that.
Anyway, Bert Burton has been doing great work at Arizona this year. They have a chance also to go 9-3. They are not ranked, though, currently. I got to take Arizona State here. I'm going to take that 1.5 points, and I'm going to take Kenny Dillingham to pull off another weird game where he wins and finishes 9-3. And I think they still have an outside chance, maybe, of making the Big 12.
A lot of weird stuff has to happen.
Yeah.
I'm like that we need to go quicker, and you're doing Pac-12 games.
Look, man, I don't care. I don't care. I can't talk about these.
Give me the Wildcats.
All right.
Yeah. Rivalry game. I like them. Cool. EVS says Bert Brenton. Yeah.
Bert Brenton.
West Texas Mike says, oh, wait, that was the wrong one. 2026 UCL head coach, Brent Brennan. And EVS says Bert Brenton.
There we go, baby.
I like that. Okay, so the game in the conference that we cover is actually number two. Oh, now I got to go back to the. Wait, where's.
Yeah.
Oh, I had to go back to like the.
Yeah, Ryan, let's come back to this so we can talk about Indiana
Hoosiers.
Hey, folks. I'm from Indiana.
And they're going. This is a big, big rivalry at. Where the hell is it? Okay. There's so many teams.
Purdue Boilermakers.
So I look at this board and there's like, okay, so it's in alphabetical order, but there's like 11 W's or M's, and it's just, it's very hard to see, pick the, find where the team is. It's
I get it.
Not easy. We have 18 teams in this conference. There's 18. Why?
That was very Jerry Seinfeld, that Y at the end.
Why?
4:30 p.m. on NBC Peacock, number 2, Indiana, 11-0, traveling to Purdue, 2-9. Indiana's a 28.5-point road favorite over the Purdue Boilermakers. I'm taking Indiana.
Yeah. I think when I pick Indiana to curb stomp somebody, they simply like carjack them and leave them on the side of the road, but they don't really beat them up, you know? And then when I'm like, okay, that's just too many points, then they like take them out of their car, beat them, put the car in the impound and like in a car crusher and leave the guy in the trunk to get squished. Like, so it's when I don't know when Kirk Cignetti is going to Kirk Cignetti or if he's just going to be like, you know, I'm less of a killer. I'm more of a, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like it's, but I'm going to take India. I think because it's a rivalry, you know, it's in state, your last chance to make like a statement. I think they're going to win by a lot. So I'm going to take Indiana. I think Kirk Cignetti gets it done here. I've not been good at picking when Indiana is going to murder someone. And I'm going to go with murder on this one on a Friday on NBC. All right. You right there?
I'm ready. Right, you just, I can't talk about this stuff anymore.
Okay. All right. The number one team in the land.
The Ohio State Buckeyes.
Taking on number 18.
Michigan Wolverines.
Wow. Scratch, 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 scratch.
9 a.m. on Big Fox, number 1, Ohio State, traveling into the Lion's Den, number 18, Michigan. Ohio State's a 9.5-point favorite, which seems weird, because when was the last time Ohio State won this game?
It's been like 2,000 days or something. I don't know. It was like
it could have been 2,000 years.
5 years
know?
Ago, yeah.
Well, it will require the second coming for Ohio State to ever win this one.
A whole presidential term has passed without
2,000 years, because Jesus, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The whole thing. I was, you know, I was making an illusion.
I love it.
An allusion, not an illusion.
An allusion.
An allusion. Mm. Yeah, I got to take Michigan here, obviously. They are the mighty Wolverines, and they're probably going to win the game, right?
I don't think they're going to win the game, but 9.5 is a lot. They've scored a whole bunch of points last week. It's at Michigan. I think, you know, I don't know the state of the top two receivers for Ohio State for this one. I don't know if anything's been announced, but yeah, until it happens, like I don't have an issue just taking Michigan to the points and feeling like Ohio State's going to win. They're already in. They really want to win this game, but you know, there's just too much like juju factor going on that it was like, I'm getting 9.5 points. Like Ohio State might scramble and like hit a last second field goal and win the game and feel great about it. But it just seems like, unless it's a complete absolute blowout, then it would be like, it would have to be like 19.5, you know, like they'll win by that. Like, I don't think they're going to win by 10. I think they're going to win by like 25 or it's going to be close. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I hear
it's
you.
Either absolute bloodbath blowout or it's close. So I'm
yeah, it's
go.
Either an absolute bloodbath blowout where Michigan wins, or it's a close game where Michigan wins.
All right. Okay, so we're in different reasons for taking these points, but we're both going to take Michigan in this one.
Do you remember when Michigan won last year?
Yes.
At Ohio State?
Yeah. The team that won the national championship.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, number 7.
Oregon Ducks.
And they're on the road at
Washington Huskies.
12:30 p.m. on CBS, number 7, Oregon at Washington. Washington is a 6.5-point home dog to Oregon. Washington, I just got an up-close look at last week against UCLA.
I mean, if you went to the game, which you did not.
I mean, I got an up close look at them on my TV.
Right. Which, like any other week.
I was paying attention this week.
Okay. I'll give you that one.
They're having some injuries right now. Denzel Boston was out for this game. Jonah Coleman was limited. They had two guys out on the offensive line. They're pretty banged up.
Yeah.
Oregon is also decently banged up, but I think Washington's at a different level. I also don't think Dan Lanning, I don't know that he's capable of losing games like this, like where it's full, like motivation, you know, rah, rah, we got to beat this rival kind of stuff. Like, I think he's got a little too much old school college football coach in him.
Yeah.
And Jed Fish is kind of stupid.
No.
Like, even in that game, and even knowing that he has, like, gotten a little bit better with the analytics, he still screwed up fourth down. Like, they still should have won that game by more than they did. So I got to go Oregon here. I think Oregon's going to cover the 6.5.
I'm going to do the same. Like, that just doesn't seem like a lot of points for me. Washington's certainly been better at home. Now, they curb-stomped UCLA last week on the road. But, yeah, I feel like this is... Oregon's going to flex its muscles a little bit here. And I think they might get a little more healthy in the wide receiver spot. But, you know, I just saw them up close and personal in, they can score points. And I think they made some mistakes in the USC game, but I think they play a cleaner game in general than Washington. And if they get a weird special teams play that doesn't go their way, I could see this getting to be a 10-14 point game, easy. But just under a touchdown, I'm going with the Ducks here in this one. And don't feel bad about it at all. The only thing I feel bad about is agreeing with you in a lot of these. So,
wow.
Because you are bad at this.
Oh, Gordo Flacco asks an interesting question, which is, I wonder how much someone would have to pay Dave to attend a football game. So this has become a bit for me more than anything. I do attend away games. Like, I've had to go to an away game each of the last 3 years. I do that. I don't do it for home games specifically because I get a better view from home. Like, I can watch the game a little bit easier and I can write about it quicker and I can do all the stuff that actually I need to do.
But you could ask questions.
And I don't need to do that. Like, that's not an important thing for me to do.
Okay.
Like, I'll do that during the week, but like, asking the coach after the game, hey, why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? I mean, I understand some people care, and obviously I watch the stupid videos too, but like also it's not that important. But like I want to be able to write my thing. I want to be able to write my little words and then record my little podcast and do it very quickly after the game so I can go to bed at a normal hour.
Gotcha.
So I guess the point is, Tracy Pearson, who currently pays me to cover the game, if he insisted that I go to the football games, I would the amount I'm currently getting paid would be enough for me to get to the football games.
Yeah.
My point is, it's not agoraphobia. It's I don't go to the games. And now it's a funny bit that I haven't been to the Rose Bowl for a football game in literally 10 years.
Since we've done this podcast.
No. The first season of us doing this podcast, I was at the games.
Okay.
I have not been at the games since then.
So we... With this
you killed me going to football games.
West Texas Mike, yes, but how much to pay Dave to relive the last three seasons all over again?
This has taken years off my life. I sincerely believe that. Like UCLA football in the state it's in is it makes me sad.
And then we have Anonymous about the pension. Started late, but regarding the UC pension, 5 years is vested in UC pension. Five more years would double it. So I Chip, Chip is vested in the UC pension?
I'm talking about, yeah, but I'm talking about...
Does that make you feel better?
Yes, and Jim Mora. So really, if USC and Michigan were to sign on with the pension fund, they would be putting money into the pockets of Jim Mora and Chip Kelly and Dan Guerrero.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting. And Martin Jarman,
for
that matter.
Are we done previewing games?
No, we've got so many more.
We're like only halfway done.
Dude, and the slate of games that we have to preview the rest of this night, it's going to make me scream.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's go with... This really hasn't happened?
Wisconsin Badgers.
At
Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Like, Big Ten fans, do you understand? Like, do you understand what we're saying about this game? Or are you like, why are these guys criticizing my teams like this? Like, do you get it? Because I'm looking at this game and I'm like, no. I legitimately have seen this game already. And I understand this may be a rival. Is this a rivalry? Every Big Ten game is a rivalry, apparently. This one's also a rivalry between these two states. 12:30 p.m. on FS1, Wisconsin traveling to Minnesota. Minnesota's a 1.5-point favorite. I'll take Minnesota. You could flip a coin. I don't know.
These worked well for me last week. I'm taking Wisconsin.
Great.
When you just didn't care, and I just took the other one, and it worked out. But Wisconsin just looks like a better team right now.
Who would know?
I just watched them. They're back from the dead. So give me Wisconsin and that 1.5 points. Hopefully they win by like one. Or two, or maybe they lose by one. Just I want you to lose by half a point. That'd be great.
When I do this, I'm resting my nose on my microphone.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Now, this is definitely a rivalry. Like, this has been, because I've covered college football, watched college football a long time. Like, this is one you remember, you know, because it's like, okay, there's the, you know, the Egg Bowl. That's fun. You know, Mississippi and Mississippi State and the Iron Bowl with Auburn and Alabama, of course, you know, USC, UCLA, the home uniforms, everything. We talked, you know, we'll talk about, you know, the Michigan, Ohio State. We talked about it before, but this is the one that pops up when I think of rivalry weekend.
Maryland Terrapins.
Snap, 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 snap.
At Michigan State Spartans.
Charge!
We skipped a game. I actually didn't include it in this list.
Oh,
because I thought it was setting up for a really funny bit. Here, I'm going to add that real quick. You start talking about this one.
Maryland on the road at Michigan State. It's going to be 4 p.m. on Saturday. FS1. The Spartans, who haven't won a Big Ten game, playing a team that has won at least one Big Ten game, they are a 3.5-point favorite. I think Michigan State looks like they could play some ball. Maryland looks like they're not as interested in playing some ball. We don't know the future of Jonathan Smith. I think they're going to have to try to get some kind of win here. I don't like the kicker in this one, but I'm going to take Michigan State to cover.
You're saying Michigan State wins a Big Ten football game?
They're going to win one because I can't see Maryland winning another one. I'm surprised that they won one.
Maryland looks significantly more deceased at the moment than Michigan State does. So, yes, I will also take Michigan State.
Okay.
So we will both be wrong, obviously.
Yes. Like, this is where Maryland goes bananas.
And no, because we've been dissecting the deceased teams in this league, and there are several. We've been wrong more often than not on, like, figuring out the motivation game among these teams that all suck.
Yes. But this is a rival that dates back. Days. Years.
Weeks, even.
Yeah. Poor Michigan State. Like, your Michigan games earlier in the season, like, this is your rivalry game? Like, you get better treatment than this. You've been in the conference a long time.
Yeah.
All right, so we missed another one because there's so many.
Yeah, we're going back in time.
We're going to have...
Penn State Nittany Lions.
Rawr.
At...
Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knight.
You ever take a ride on the dinosaur ride at Knott's Berry Farm before it got removed?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because the back in time was a little reference to that. There was a guy at the beginning. It was one of those slow, dark rides, you know, where you kind of just go through and you're going through the different ages of the dinosaurs. And the guy at the beginning was like, oh, no, the machine is broken. You're going back in time. Anyway, that has nothing to do with
why'd they get rid of it?
I don't know. It was actually a really cool ride. It was like, you know, one of those Disney rides, like the Snow White and all that kind of stuff, but it was the Knott's version of that. It was like a slow ride through the dark where you're just looking at stuff, and it was a great time to like just kind of rest during the day when you're tired. It's now one of those shooting things. It's the like pizza thing. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
Have you been there in a bit?
I went last year and I bought like a season pass because my buddy loves it, and then I didn't go back.
So, wow, you could still go again.
I think I have like a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you still have, there's still more time in this year.
Oh, so is it like a calendar year thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh. The season pass is a great deal.
Yeah, like you really only need to use it once and it's worth it, right?
Okay. You can go to the water park.
Oh.
Yeah, you can add that on. Yeah.
I like it.
Soak City. Anyway, 12:30 p.m. on the Big Ten Network, Penn State traveling to Rutgers. Rutgers is a 13.5-point home dog. One of these two teams will be bowl eligible at the end of this game.
Yeah.
Isn't that a crazy thing to imagine?
Yeah.
It's going to be Penn State, and I'm going to pick them to cover.
I'm going to pick them to cover, too. Rutgers, you did us dirty last week where you couldn't cover 32.5 against Ohio State. I think Penn State's certainly not Ohio State. This one's not in Columbus, but Penn State looks like they're playing real football again, and Rutgers is not. So, you know, good passing game, but like, where was that passing game against Ohio State? Yes, they have an awesome defense, but just put up some points and you're going to cover 32.5. Like, you can't have one touchdown. So I cannot in good conscience take Rutgers after they did us dirty last week. So it's an emotional decision, and Penn State's on the rise, so give me the Nittany Lions. All right, we still got two more games, if you can believe that. This is a big one. We've got, where is it? I can't even find it.
Northwestern Wildcats.
We have a number 21, but they're not going to be this when the new playoff rankings come out. But number 21.
Illinois Fighting Illini.
Hi. I'm from Illinois.
4:30 p.m. on Fox. Northwestern traveling to number 21, Illinois. Illinois is a 7.5-point home favorite. They have done nothing to justify such a thing. I will take Northwestern to cover.
Yeah, in our latest definitive Big Ten power rankings, okay, we have Northwestern up at number 9. We have Illinois at number 10. We feel Northwestern's a better team. And we're getting 7.5 points. You know what that says, David?
What does it say?
We should take Northwestern.
That's right, baby.
And we're going to do it. All right. Excuse me.
How many more games?
Do we have one left?
Oh, boy. At least it's the one we won't talk about the most.
No. We're going to do this one from the old school buttons. We got...
UCLA Bruins.
They're not going to be this anymore. Number 15.
USC Trojans.
4:30 p.m. on NBC. UCLA traveling to number 15, USC. USC is a robust, Ryan, 21.5-point home favorite.
Wow.
In this football game. UCLA has, in many respects, quit on its season. But there's a big but here.
Yeah.
It's a rare UCLA team that has quit to such an extent that it will quit on the USC football game.
True.
I have seen it before.
Yes.
2011 comes to mind. 50-0. That Rick Neuheisel team had definitely quit on its football season and that UCLA game or that USC game. But it's a rare occurrence.
That's Lane Kiffin, who's in the news right now.
He sure is.
He's in the news a lot.
This line is a function for me of where I feel UCLA is on the quitting spectrum. Because if they haven't fully quit on the season, I see them covering this line. Because this game, you know, it can be weirdly competitive, and I'm not convinced USC's defense is, you know, existent all the time. But if UCLA has quit on its season, USC could hang 40, cover, you know, they could win this by 40. That's my point. I got to go with it. I'm going to go UCLA.
All right.
Plus 21.5.
I'm going to agree with you on this one. I think Nico's probably not going to play, right?
I don't know. So I thought it was another concussion is what it looked like to me, but they say like neck spasms.
Okay.
I don't think he should play. I don't think anyone should play. I think everyone should just call it a day on this season and maybe forfeit this one. But I think, you know, guys are going to want to play. Nico is a tough guy. He does like to play.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to want to play. But we haven't seen any practice this week yet. We've got one guy at practice today.
All right.
So we'll see. But I would say he shouldn't, and Luke Duncan should start.
Okay. Well, we'll see. But I feel like UCLA did look like they quit. If they play anything like they did in the Rose Bowl Saturday, then USC could win by like a million. But I'm not sure how high USC is going to get up for this one either. Like, it was very disappointing to go to Oregon and lose. You're not playing for the playoff anymore. This could be like a coming down moment too. Excuse me. Man, I got my throat going on here.
Yeah.
Maybe because we're like an hour and a half into this and we haven't even got to the break yet. Mother. Yeah, so that's a lot of points. Damn it. I don't know what's going to happen besides my voice going. So give me the points. Screw it.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, we finished talking about Big Ten football for the season.
Holy shoes. Okay, let's take a break. Mercifully, we'll come back and do some more crap.
The throat goat, Ryan Abraham.
Wow. There's a lot going on. We just talked a lot. It's 9 a.m. too doing this.
Hey, West Texas Mike, I need you to clip the throat goat Ryan Abraham. I need you to clip that out. Yeah. We need that as a drop, I think, at some point.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Perfect. All right. We should get to questions. We don't have any voicemails. Where are we at?
Where are we at?
Dylan's
didn't work.
Yeah, Dylan and Albuquerque, I clicked those links and it didn't work. So
I'll read this next one, this text message.
Okay.
Gentlemen, Wazoo might be having one of the strangest seasons on record. They beat an abysmal Idaho team by 3, stomp and now 8-2 San Diego State, then give up a combined 118 points split down the middle in back-to-back weeks to UNT and UW, follow that by beating Colorado State 20-3, lose by 3 to number 4 Mississippi on the road, the next week lose by only 2 to number 18 UVA on the road, and their flighty flourish of the last 4 games has seen them beat Toledo and Louisiana Tech by 20+, lose to ranked JMU by 4 again on the road, And in a historic display, of what the fuckery, they lost to Oregon State by the same amount of points that separated them from Ole Miss. What will their final game, a rematch tilt for Pac-2 co-supremacy and bowl eligibility against the Beavs, bring? At this point, smart money is on a scoreless tie that goes 12 overtimes on a, or a double forfeit.
So you could have
Oregon State Beavers.
Or
Washington State Cougars.
Or
Washington State Cougars.
I took Oregon State, right?
You did. I took Washington State to cover.
Yeah.
13.5.
We'll see what happens there. Oxnard Steve wrote in his text message, Ryan recently described USC as having a, quote, puncher's chance to beat Oregon and make it into the college football playoff, but I was listening to the podcast at 1.5 speed, and I thought I heard him say it was a punter's chance. So how about using the term, quote, punter's chance to describe teams that do not go for it on their opponent's 35-yard line and do not attempt the field goal from there and instead elect to punt it away? Would it not be great to say that the UCLA's, the Purdue's, and the Michigan States of the world would have a punter's chance? Oxnard Steve.
I like it. I would describe it for teams that have clearly shown signs of playing for covering and playing for not getting beaten too bad. They have a punter's chance of covering. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Moving right.
Was it Neuheisel that said punting is winning?
Punting is winning. Yes, that was Neuheisel. This is from DC Dog. Question for the pod. Hey, fellas. I'll spare David yet another Chip to Westwood question, as I'm sure he's already covered that from every angle on the pod. Instead, is there a former president or historical American figure whose career or life arc resembles Chip Kelly's past decade? You know, the UCLA turbulence, the hitching a ride on the Ohio State title train, and now getting knocked out of Vegas by Pete Carroll and that massive wad of gum he's been chewing on for 70 years. Thanks for the weekly banter. You know, I don't know that there's a perfect analog. It would be one of the war heroes who turned out not to be a good president. I don't love Ulysses S. Grant as an analogy, but I think in common parlance, he would be the like obvious one because his presidency, well, I think historically reappraised is much more solid than it was in real time. You know, it does, you know, he was this like great, you know, He put up 46-7 on the Confederate Army, the Army of Northern Virginia, and then didn't quite do that as a president. So,
but he had a good presidency.
Yeah, that's where I'm kind of like, eh. In real time, or in, soon after, it was described as a corrupt administration and all that kind of stuff. And there were some problems. Trying to think if there's another good war hero type or... That's probably Andrew Jackson, maybe.
So you're looking for like,
I'm looking for somebody who had a pre-presidency career that was pretty good, and then a presidency that was, you know, marked by like say evil genocides against Native Americans.
So
I'm going to go Andrew Jackson. Actually, that's my answer.
Okay, thank you for that one. Our buddy West Texas Mike, Lincoln Riley's perfect burden. You know what I don't hear enough? I think we all fail to acknowledge how much pressure Lincoln Riley's offense is under to be perfect. I mean, they want to go out and throw the ball around and have fun, but instead it appears they've been asked to go out and be perfect and even like score points and stuff. Could you imagine the pressure? And sometimes, do you notice the temerity of other teams lining up their defense against USC's offense and attempt to stop them? Is that even legal? USC doesn't do it. What a burden for Lincoln Riley and his offense to have to go out and be perfect. Certainly, that's why they haven't scored 40 points in 2 months. That cursed burden of having to be perfect. West Texas Mike.
I want to sincerely get into this because Lincoln Riley, we all agree he hasn't been great, right, at USC?
Yeah, like as a head coach, no.
Are there people still carrying water for him? Because I'm amazed by the number of people who like came at me hard, not like, why are you talking shit? Your team is bad, because that's fair. Like, you know, the reason I'm talking shit is because I don't want to talk about my team. But like coming at me as like disputing the records and saying, no, 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 Lincoln Riley's way better than Clay Helton because he's got a better recruiting class right now. And I'm like, guys, look, I've made these arguments before too, and the thing is, they're 4 years now removed from Clay Helton, and the team still isn't where it needs to be.
Yeah.
And you don't have to look too much further than Indiana to find a guy who's an actual killer who immediately changed the trajectory of that program. It doesn't take 4 years. It doesn't take 5 years. It certainly doesn't take a high school recruiting class anymore to be good.
Yes.
In college football. So what is this argument? But like, why are people still carrying water for this guy? You should be like, USC fans, as somebody who's dealt with coaches of all ilks at different points, you should be in the pure and utter show me time now.
Yes.
Like it is, if you do not, and look, I know next year's schedule is really hard, but none of this bullshit of like 8-4 is fine next year.
No.
Like you should be looking at that and saying, okay, you've had 4 years. This is USC football. We should be 10-2 at worst. And like that should be the expectation. And it doesn't, you're a fan. It does not need to cohere with, oh, well, the schedule's a little bit tough and this team looks like they're going to be really tough too. No, you're USC.
Yeah.
You just, you hired this guy, you paid him $100+ million and he's not delivering on that. He's giving you 9-3 at best.
Yeah.
Like, because when I look at next year's schedule, if I'm realistically appraising a Lincoln Riley team, they're going 9-3 at best again.
Yeah.
Because it's a hard schedule. And yeah, I understand why they're trying to duck Notre Dame because of that. They want to try to massage this into 10-2. But the thing is, it's not because of the schedule that they're going to be 9-3. The schedule is hard. It's because we know what to expect from a Lincoln Riley team at this point. Shouldn't that, like, I don't know. Doesn't that concern you? Doesn't that make you like?
No, it's a show me time. You got to like go out and win. Doesn't matter. Like, yes, they should have been 10-2 this year. Illinois is not that good. You know, they lost a game that they shouldn't have lost.
Yeah.
They were favored. Like, they're favored in 10 games out of 12.
Year four of you're paying him what? $11, $12 million a year? Something like that?
11. Yeah, I think.
So year four of that. Yeah, they could have been 10-2 if they just play a little bit better against Illinois. But shouldn't the expectation be that they would have beaten Notre Dame too? Or like at least have a really good chance of beating them?
Yeah.
Like shouldn't they be 11-1? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just...
I mean, they were favored in 10 games and they only won 9.
I cut my teeth with a USC program that actually had some like real arrogance about it, you know? Yeah. And not this unjustified thing, but like... No, you know, the Carroll years, like they should be, you know, dominant every single year. And this is like so far from dominant. And it's just like, I don't know. It's unbecoming.
Yeah, no,
they don't need be suckers,
that.
Guys.
No, they need better. Yeah. All right, can we move on? I like really got to get out of here.
No. Yeah.
You're up.
What's next? We've got El Gordo Flacco. Moving forward. Hello from El Gordo Flacco. One, David, I'm sorry to hear your good friend Chip lost his job. Do you think he will attain one of the many college coaching positions currently available? I hear the Bruins have an opening. No, I don't think he's going back to college. I don't think he's coaching next year. Two, in the monetary arms race that is now college football, what do you think is a minimum amount of yearly NIL needed to field a team capable of competing for a national championship? Maybe $20 million or so. Depends on what you're talking about. I think rev share alone gets teams to $15 million, more or less. I think if you're talking about being minimally competitive, you need to be at 25. So I think an additional $10 million in private NIL funds.
I think that's probably, yeah, I would go in that range for
and
sure.
And there's some teams that are going to be closer to 40. So you need to be at 25, I think, to be minimally competitive. Three, are there any thoughts on where USC is going bowling this year? Alamo Bowl, baby.
I've heard the Alamo, yeah. But not sure. One of the things I despise is like bowl projections, especially
they're
early
stupid.
In the season. Oh my God, they're so wrong. Like they're never even close to being right. And they're doing it like week three. Here's our bowl projections. Like, oh my God, that's so dumb. Hate that.
Yep.
More than anything. Matthew did send an update.
It's the same thing. Okay. We already read it.
So we already read that one. Okay, cool. So I think
we're done.
We are good. Holy crap, that was a lot of talking for 9 in the morning.
I was fine.
Thanks for bringing me donuts. Oh, wait, you didn't do that. Would have been nice.
I just woke up. I woke up like 40 minutes before the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It takes me like 20 minutes to drive down here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Takes 20 minutes?
It does.
All right, well, that's going to wrap up the show. This is the last week.
The last week of Big Ten
football.
Yeah. We do have to talk about bowl games.
Yes.
And a Big Ten championship game.
How many Big Ten teams are going to make bowls? Mm. Where are we at?
Let's see. Okay. We have in the Big Ten, Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, USC, Washington, Iowa, Nebraska, Northwestern, Minnesota, Illinois, one of Penn State, and Rutgers.
And that's it?
Yeah, so that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 teams will make
it. So we have like a regular conference of bowl games to come up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. And several of those teams will be playing multiple bowl games because they will be making the college football playoff.
True, yeah, potential. And we have the championship game. So, all right. Well, we'll get into all that stuff. But hope everyone has a great holiday weekend. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Watch lots of football. Eat lots of food. Ignore your family. Whatever you got to do. Whatever you do. But we hope you have a great time. But that's David Woods. And do we want to pose for something?
No.
I'm Ryan Abraham. Hope you guys enjoy the show much more than we did, because we didn't. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.